work to develop healthy, culturally relevant, reproducing churches with visionary leaders that will partner to plant more of the same. This has been a concerted effort looking towards 2020, and we've seen progress. One of the things is we have 10 church plants that we want to see by the year 2020. And you may think that's really aggressive, but we've already seen three church plants just in the short time that we have had this vision brought forth. So there's some exciting things. You're going to hear some of those as we listen to the task forces on church health and church planting as well. We also want 10 revitalized churches, and this is really a longer-term project. It's not easy. It's not overnight to help our churches work through some of the struggles that they have. But we have many struggling churches, as do many other denominations. But I didn't say the word okay, I better clarify that. Be careful. Okay. We also want, a big part of this is, if we're going to have new church plants, we want to have 20 new pastors. As evidenced by the great work that the licensing and ordination crew are doing and the work of Grace Bible College, we had many ordained, licensed, and commissioned this week, seeing some of those numbers gain speed. So it's exciting to see some of that. And some of these new leaders are not necessarily going to come from Grace Bible College. Might be lay leaders, might be a ministry change, seeing some of the pastors. Some pastors are leaving the church and going to the mission field, and some of those missionaries are coming into our churches. And then returning pastors, some that maybe have been gone from ministry in the church for 3, 5, 10 years. And so it's exciting to see some of that growth. I want to be able to give a couple people a chance here. We want to have Tom Drenth. Tom Drenth is in charge of our church plant task force. And Tom is going to be giving an update on some of the exciting things that they've been looking at, some of the church plants, and then they also met today. So maybe any updates you can give there. So Tom?
All right. Hello, everybody. All right. So first of all, let me just give you an update. We came up with this God-sized vision. To do 10 churches in before 2020 was definitely not our size, considering we haven't done 10 in many years. So we're counting on the Lord, and then three people were moved to begin. And so I'll give you a little update on each of those. I was hoping Philip might be here, but he hasn't made it yet. He's on the road. I hope he's okay. But he's starting one in the Indianapolis area. And just kind of on his own, because that's what the Lord has. Each one of these looks very different. And so if he is able to make it, make sure you encourage him, ask how he might be able to help him. And he's done all the background and all the homework, but it's a challenge to do this alone. And so that one has got a handful of people involved at it, but opportunities are coming. Dwight shared an opportunity. There's a prison, right? Was it across the street, Dwight, from where they're meeting? And so they may likely be able to team up with some things PMA is doing and use that as an opportunity that I don't think Philip probably foresaw, did he? And so in Quincy, Illinois, anybody know where Quincy, Illinois is? Okay, that's where Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn are near. No, I don't think so, but it's right on the Mississippi River there. And certainly this was not something we could have planned, but a Baptist church closed and decided it needed to give its building to one of the Grace churches, the one there in St. Louis. And so they're using that to launch a new church. So Pastor Don is moving up there, well, maybe even this week. He was hoping to get here to this conference, but he couldn't make it because he had to be out of his home. And he's relocating to Quincy and starting really from scratch. With a building, which may or may not be a help, but he has a building at least to meet in, and starting from scratch. Don has never done this before. He's not been a pastor before, and this is a work of faith on his part. I talked to Don just last week, and hope to get together with him soon and get him plugged into some more resources and things like that. So that's what's happening there. Pray for them there because there's a learning curve. There's a learning curve. But both of these things weren't things we first saw. And then in Minnesota, the church there, Bethesda, decided it was time to do what they had been talking about for years. So they planted a church right there near Minneapolis. Was a couple hours away, maybe?
An hour north.
And they now have a leader preaching there and leading there. And that's been a bumpy ride for them as well. That started in the fall, and a lot has happened since then. But the Lord is faithful, and that church continues. All that to say, this is going to be a challenge. This is going to be, and this is not something that GGF is going to be able to do. This is something God is going to have to do. And it's something God is going to have to do through our churches. We're a national organization. We got churches all over the country, some struggling, some thriving, most somewhere in between. None of that, in my understanding of God's power, matters. And so I want to encourage you to do a couple things when you go home, is to begin praying, to ask your leadership at your church to pray about how God would have you be involved in this vision and have your church be involved in this vision. To give you a couple of examples, one thing on our hearts is cross-cultural ministry. We would love to see new churches speaking languages other than English. And so do you have an opportunity in your community where you have a language, and where we live in Hart, we have an opportunity with Spanish speakers. And so to pray about an opportunity with them in my community would be ideal. My heart is for universities. I believe that we need to intentionally look and pray for opportunities near college campuses to start churches. Because if we can win those young hearts and all the enthusiasm that comes with youth to the Lord, there will be repercussions. And when they leave school and they go to wherever they go, they're going to bring their faith with them. And so to me, I think like if I lived in the Grand Rapids area, I would look at Grand Valley campus, Michigan State campus. Hope College certainly is not walking close to the Lord right now. So Holland, a campus, something near there. Or any number of places. If you're in Seattle, the University of Washington campus. And wherever you happen to be, there's campuses, there's schools. And so looking for an opportunity God may give us. And then Sandy, who's a member of our task force, talked about international of the two. And I thought, wow, that sounds smart. This is how many universe people from all over the world are coming to attend school here and are lonely and are lost and need to know Jesus and need to have someone come alongside them and help them find their way. And so an international ministry is a great way to combine the cross-cultural desires. So those are just some examples. One of the things we expect is that new churches are not going to look like our existing churches because our culture no longer looks like the culture that our churches started in. Our culture is moving and changing fast. And I want to encourage you, this is not unlike Corinth, not unlike Athens, not unlike the first century, is when a Christian shines, they shine like stars in the universe. And so as our culture gets darker, the body of Christ will shine brighter. And so let's not be discouraged by that. It says, well, nobody is interested in these things. For one thing, God's interested in them, and then we all need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So be encouraged by that. We do have some resources. If your heart is pricked, if the Holy Spirit says, boy, I don't want to do this, but I want to do this. I don't want to do this, but I want to do this. Or I don't think I can. I don't think I can. I think I can. I think I can. That seems to be how the Holy Spirit works, is we have to wrestle with him a while before we finally give in to what he expects. And so if that's where you are or your church is, we are available to come, and you can pick our branch and call me, get my cell number, or Matt or Frost can get you my cell number, you call and I'll return a call if I can't pick up, and steer you towards some resources we have discovered that might be helpful. You can pick my brain. One of the reasons I'm involved with this task force is not only because I've been involved in church ministry and all the, a lot of the things that you have done, but I have opened and started from scratch businesses. And there's parallels to the way you start new things. And so I can share what I've learned about opening new businesses and new locations and growing those businesses as far as marketing. And because of my experience with having worked in churches, I'll have an understanding of what may help a church and what may not be relevant. And so I'm happy to have my brain picked until it's empty. We're working on the strategy, but what we don't want is for this to be a GGF effort. But we want this to be an effort from the fellowship. And so we want to encourage and enable and help people be successful. We don't want to be telling people, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, or this is what we should do, or this is what we... So part of that's kind of who we are, you know, as a fellowship, and a part of that is maybe philosophy. We want to go where the Lord's moving us to go. So there are some things in the works that it's too soon to talk about, but there are other things in the works.
Thank you, Tom. I'd like to have Gary Hansen come up. And Gary's going to be sharing about the Church Health Team Task Force and what they've been working on.
And I'm actually going to invite Cal and Jim up as well, because we've been doing this and it hasn't really... It's been a very much a team effort. Cal and Jim and I have been meeting over Skype probably every other week for the most part when we can do it, when everybody remembers. And Cal's not having surgery or something like that, right?
Not me, other people in the church.
Oh, right. Other people in the church. Anyway, so we've been doing a number of things. We started out, our primary goal is to have churches, regional churches supporting regional churches. And so one of the things that we're really hoping to encourage, and we've already started to encourage, is that that regional churches will meet together on a regular basis. And that happens in some regions better than it happens in others, but we want to make sure that the churches around other Grace churches are supporting each other and encouraging each other, aware of the needs, and able to step in and encourage and minister where those needs are. We recognize that some churches are more isolated than others, and so part of what we're thinking towards is even are there ways that we can restructure our regions so that maybe that can be more effective. But we want to make sure that churches are that regions are meeting together, supporting each other, encouraging each other, and pastors are supporting other pastors and churches are supporting other pastors. And part of that, I'm going to let Jim share a little bit about some of the work that he's been doing. So,
yeah. So there's the regional element to it where you can get together and you can be face-to-face and meet with someone and talk to someone. But of course, we know that living in the 21st century, that is not necessary. There's a weird emphasis there. It's not necessary. You can get together on Skype, on the internet, and talk. And actually, Cal and John and Zach and Bill have been meeting on a regular basis doing a sort of a mentorship type thing for a long time. So we're not obviously the first person to do this. But when Brent found himself as suddenly preaching every week at Bethesda and doing a lot of the ministry that he wasn't necessarily expecting to do, we kind of connected with one another and said, hey, why don't we start meeting on a regular basis and talking? And so in that way, hopefully I can be helping Brent, but he's also helping me. And so Brent, why don't you come on up and maybe we can just share just a little bit about what we do when we meet and what's been beneficial to you. And while we're doing this, maybe be thinking of, is there somebody that you whether you're a new pastor or an old pastor or a soon-to-be pastor? Is there somebody that you can meet with and do this sort of thing, and how can you be involved in that?
This was something that I was really excited when Jim actually talked to me about being able to meet, because this is a new role. I'm preaching now 3 out of 4 times, at least that's my goal. And what we necessarily do is we get together and we just talk about, like, okay, where are we at? Where am I at with my message? Where am I at with, like, my prep? And then I'm throwing ideas out to say, here's where I'm walking, here's where I'm looking at, here's kind of the general direction. Can you help me with illustrations? Can you help me with some of the things? Like, what are your thoughts of what you just heard from what I've just said? And when I'm listening just to what he says, oh, yeah, this is great, and here's something else, maybe think about this, here's another way to look at it, it really does help me, because I'm at my position right now, my mind is flying so many different directions, and it's nice to have some dedicated time where I'm just sitting down and I'm talking with someone else who can help me think through a message, because I'm having such a hard time being able to do that. So the discipline of knowing that at 2 o'clock on Tuesday, I'm able to talk with Jim, and I'm able to talk with him about my message, what's going on, and then maybe even throwing something else out there, because we've done that every once in a while. I'm like, hey, I have this instance, thoughts. And to hear someone else to just hear this and give thoughts, it helps me. I'm a verbal processor, so I need that so badly. So I'm very thankful for that. I don't know if I've answered your question.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think, like Brent described, sometimes we meet for 30 minutes, 25 minutes, sometimes we meet for an hour, and it's not, at first it was kind of a big thing, like, okay, I gotta, you know, take time out of my day, but I found it to be so beneficial for myself as well, because I'm able to minister to Brent, but also learn from him as he's going through some experiences and some situations he's bringing to me, and I'm like, wow, like, I never thought about having to go through that, and I'm glad that you can suffer through it, and I can learn from it. It's a great relationship that way. But the reason that we're telling you this is because we want to encourage you to do this as well, whether it's a local pastor that you can meet with face-to-face, have a cup of coffee with, or if it's just somebody that you get together with on Skype. It's such an easy thing to do, but this is the type of thing that helps to make strong churches. Churches, whether it's in a crisis time or church that's just kind of, like Tom said, somewhere in the middle of striving or thriving or suffering, you know, just coming alongside and ministering with them, I think is such a valuable thing that each one of you is able to do. If you're not a pastor, if you're someone else in ministry, a music minister, pastor's wife, or some other type of minister, you can do this as well. It's not just for pastors, but it's good to reach out to that. So thanks for sharing, Brent, and rock on.
One of the things I would just encourage some of you older pastors, that's not me, but some of you, you've had years of experience. You've had tremendous opportunities to, you've been through the mill. A lot of times when we're in this position, we're very territorial. And it's very easy for us to this is my ministry, and you're not open to allowing other people to see your struggle, your ministry. And John and I got into this 3 years ago when we decided to do a series, and we said, well, let's talk about it. I really encourage you, and I know Jim said it, and he's doing it with Brent, find somebody. I just talking to Jerry Olson at lunch today, and he said, now, here's a man that's not a new pastor, not new in ministry, but new in the pastorate. And, you know, okay, what are we doing, we who have been in the pastorate, what are we doing to come alongside of some of these people and say, hey, we'll journey with you. We'll be in it with you. We'll help you. When I got on with the task force here, it was like, wow, where do we start? Because it is such a big area that we have, and I know that by now you would like us to have all the answers and all the resources and everything finalized, but we're just kind of beginning at this ourselves. And to journey through this and to realize, wait a minute, this is an ongoing thing. And I for some of you guys, some of you guys are getting out of the ministry. What are you What are you going to do to, have you duplicated yourself in other people? And I think that's the biggest thing we have to do is duplicate ourselves in somebody else. Find somebody, pray for somebody, and then pour your heart into it. I challenged one of the men. There was working in an area, and he said, well, I've got this young guy working with me. I said, are you working on messages with them? So they learn, and they're able to. One of the things that Zach and I do, Zach preaches 1 week, I preach the next week. But we're always playing together. So there's continuity in the ministry. And I think it's beneficial for the congregation. And I think there's a lot of things that we could do. That's not traditionally the way we do it. But I think by doing it that way, I think our fellowship would be much, much stronger.
Just to piggyback on that, too, from what we talked about this morning, you may be thinking, oh, that sounds like something I should do, but who do I talk to, and what if they don't want to do it, and they turn me down? And I think that goes into some of the vulnerability stuff we're talking about today. And yeah, maybe they'll turn you down, but maybe they're just waiting for somebody to ask them. And I know as a younger guy and my experience with working with some of our younger students in the church, they don't want to, it's a lot scarier for them to go up to somebody and ask them for help than it is to have an older person come and say, hey, can I take you out to coffee? Or can I, take that, be the one to take that first step in someone else's life. A couple more things.
Yeah, a couple more things. One more thing in addition to the direct mentorship, another resource that has kind of become a church health resource. It didn't necessarily start out this way, but I think it's going to become that way. Matt Lovren, who many of you know, he's one of the theology professors here, and he's a licensed ordained pastor with the GGF. He and I, for the last few years, have been getting together and having coffee and just talking about church and talking about ministry and talking about what it means to be in small churches that don't necessarily grow and how that's okay and we can still be a healthy church without this exponential Andy Stanley type growth. And every time we talk about this, like, man, there might be other people that would want to hear this stuff. And so we decided, well, why don't we start recording this? And so we just launched a couple weeks ago a podcast called the Pastoral Calling Podcast, and I just found it on iTunes. It's just on iTunes right now. We just have one episode. We're recording our second episode actually today, and it'll be up on Friday. And I'm not saying this to try to be self-promotional or try to, like, you know, make us go viral or whatever, but I do think that the way that we're approaching this is with the understanding that a lot of the church health growth things that we hear are focused on these big churches with these big goals and these, you know, and for us, a lot of us are just in the small community churches, and that's a good thing. And it's those churches need health and those churches need strength. And so our goal is to spend time talking about some of the joys and struggles of life and leadership in the local church, but also each week we're going to be bringing in another pastor. In our first episode, we interviewed Gary Spikerman and just talked about some of the challenges and struggles that he's had. We're going to be interviewing Gary for this week, and we have different pastors lined up. So I just want to encourage you, if that's something that you'd at all be interested in, it's called the Pastoral Calling Podcast. It's on iTunes, and it's also on SoundCloud, and that might be something that might be helpful for some of you.
Good. As we're talking about podcasts, I know we're going long, but there's a podcast out there called Sermon Smith, especially for you younger guys or even for older guys. It's just a 45-minute to an hour-long conversation with different pastors throughout the country who it starts from how do you plan out a series to week, how do you put together a sermon, and there's like 70, 80 of them out there, and each one is different, and there's something good to learn from each one. So if you're looking for help in continuing to develop your craft of preparing a sermon, check that out, Sermon Smith. And then finally, the last thing that we've been working on, which has been a big project for us over the last 6 months, has been a survey. As we looked at this discussion of what is a healthy church, there are a lot of resources out there, but we wanted to really have something that was unique to our churches as best as possible. All of our churches are different, but something that would really speak to Grace churches. And so we went back and we did a survey of Paul's letters and asked the question, what is Paul saying to these communities about what they need in order to grow, to be healthy? Or what are they doing well that Paul is celebrating in these churches? And we made a list, we compiled it, we organized it into some big themes, and we've been putting together a questionnaire that we will be able to give to churches to have an ongoing evaluation of their ministries. And the idea behind this, I know there are a lot of these resources out there, but the idea behind this was not that it would be a sort of thing where you would go through and score yourself on a 1 to 100 in each area and then focus on your weak area or something like that. But it's really a lot of open-ended questions that your church can evaluate yourself. So even if you feel like you're really strong in a certain area, is there something more that we can be doing in this area? Is there a way that we can be better reaching into our neighborhoods? Is there a way that we can be better sharing the gospel? Is there a way that we can better engage with areas of church discipline or our worship ministry? And so we have 8 categories. It's still a work in progress. We're working through it and trying to refine it to be something that's valuable. And our goal then, as it's completed, is to put together a series of articles that will go along with the questions that we'll put in Truth Magazine that will explain why did we come up with these questions? What's the biblical basis for these questions? And what is it that Paul is really calling the church to? And then how can we better take steps to get there? And so hopefully you'll be beginning this summer, you'll begin to see some of those articles coming out, and we hope that can be a really valuable resource for our churches.
Thanks, guys. A lot of hard work has gone into both of these task forces and some exciting things that are going on. If you have questions for these guys individually, make sure you see them afterwards.